green light, that's usually good. If you see a green light, that means go. But I want to tell you a few more things about the ministry over there. It's kind of sometimes in the mornings my mind hasn't caught up with my body. I mean, I got up at 5 o'clock, but sometimes my mind gets up at 8 or 9 o'clock. And sometimes I'll say one thing, but I mean something else. So don't listen to what I say. Listen to what I meant to say. You'll know what I meant to say. But let me tell you about these church buildings. We build just a cheap structure, a cement slab floor. That's the cheapest way, and it lasts a long time too. I mean, we don't carpet. That's unheard of in countries like that. But we just a cement slab floor and concrete block walls. So on the outside you see concrete blocks, and on the inside you still see concrete blocks, unless the members want to plaster it and paint it. They can make it pretty, and a lot of them you saw where they done a good job on the outside putting plaster and then painting it. But they've got the labor and they can do that, and it's good to let them beautify the place anyway. But what I want to do is give them a place to worship. No air conditioning. We do, some of them, we run electricity to it, and some of them get ceiling fans. And with the windows open, that helps a lot. Lets bugs in, but it's still, you can live with bugs. They probably eat bugs in some of these countries, so there's a shortage on them anyway. In the Philippines, they eat dog. They eat dog in the Philippines, and we have many Filipino missionaries come by our house, and some of them stay for 2 months, 3 months, even. Jess Quilly, my architect, he's been here two different times. He stayed for 6 months one time, 4 months another time. So I know these pastors real good. Half of the 50 pastors I'm helping, I know very well, and I know what they're preaching, and they're very well educated. But about the building, so we have a concrete wall, and then we put a metal roof, steel reinforced or rhubarb, you know, and a metal roof. So it's a good building to stand for a long time. And you might say, well, that's a rough looking building, that's not much. Do you know most of the villages that I built those churches in, that building is the best looking building in the village. The church building is the best looking village building in the village. So they're proud of it, and they are amazed at what God has done for them. Y'all can, you know that you've been blessed fixing a build, move into a much larger building, but they feel like they've really been blessed. And here's the need for that. Sure, they could go, some of these villagers are very close to this large church that you saw, the home church. But the problem is they don't have transportation. There may be one or two vehicles in an entire village of 5,000 people. And they may be 5, 10, 15 miles away from the nearest church. So each village really needs a church. Because they've got nothing else, and I'm fixing to tell you what they do have, the other options, beside a good Baptist church, I'm going to tell you what other options they have. So it's real important that we can go out into the village and witness to them. And these pastors have Sunday school classes and just lessons in a home, and over time people get saved, and then they go to looking for a building to rent. And you saw some of the little shacks they was having church in. And then after the church is established pretty well, I will try to get the funds to build them a good church building. And God's been real good with that. I mean, I just thank Him and praise Him for what He has done in the way of providing me money to help some good national pastors. You know, a lot of missionaries, and I'm not saying that one way's any better than the other, but a lot of missionaries, American missionaries, will go to a place like the Philippines. I know some of them down there, one of them with our board. But what normally happens, an American missionary will go down there and start a church, and 15 years later, they still got a church with 50 or 75 people, and that's good. I mean, they need that. But if you can train the national pastors to get out there and reach the people, number one, you can, it's a lot more bang for your buck. I mean, $100 a month will support a national pastor. We support some of them personally because it doesn't take a whole lot for them. They will usually have a second job, you know, and if they can make $200 a month, they're better off than most of the families in the Philippines. The areas you saw here wasn't some of the worst areas. This little village of Payata, garbage dump that you saw on there, saw the children getting things out of the garbage dump. They're not really looking for anything to eat necessarily. If they find something, they'd probably eat it. But what they're mainly doing is they take these plastic bottles, like a Coca-Cola plastic bottle, and they save them up, and if they get so much, 100, maybe a nickel, 5 cents, 400 of them, and you know, that would usually buy their evening meal. If the families go out and work in the dump all day, and then they can collect enough of those bottles to sell them and maybe get a dollar, and that will buy their evening meal. That's pretty much what they do from day to day. And this Payata is very close to the main church building. But the pastor at the main church building says, I want to build them a church over there. So they started the work and got a church organized, and he wanted me to build a church building. Well, the reason being is because the people at the main church were dressed good, and these people that lived in the dump, they didn't feel good at all going to that church, and they just wouldn't go. Even though it wasn't but a half a mile, they just wouldn't go. And we have the same problem over here. A lot of times you see little country churches that the people would rather go to them than go to a larger church. And that's just people's nature. But a lot of these villages are too far away from them to go to another church, and so they take the church to the village. Now here's what the churches they have in some of these villages if you don't do that. In the area that I go to, which is the main capital city, Manila, and it's on the island of Luzon. And I'm working mainly about 50 miles north of Manila, and in an area called Tarlac City in Tarlac Province, a big province of as big as three or four of our counties. And there's villages all throughout these provinces, especially around a large city like Tarlac. So Tarlac City has 1 million people, and thinking of all the villages around, that's 2 million. That might stretch on for 20 miles, you know, a populated area like that. So so one thing they have in these cities is Iglesia Ni Cristo, which is Church of Christ, but in Spanish. They speak Tagalog, but Iglesia Ni Cristo, and here's what they teach in those churches. And I see many, many of those buildings. They build million-dollar buildings, and you see them every 10 or 15 miles. But they teach that when the rapture of the church takes place, the whole church is raptured up in the air. What about that? And if you're not there that day, you won't go to heaven. You've got to be there that day. And they've got fences around these churches. And a lot of times if people's late to church, they close the door and they even close the fence gate. And people will hang on to those fences thinking if the rapture takes place, maybe the fence will go up too. And they also, so that's one way of getting perfect attendance. People don't lay out, people don't go to the beach. They may miss heaven, you know, what they believe. But anyway, another thing is, if you don't tithe, you're excommunicated. You can't go to church if you don't tithe. So what a perfect church, a perfect tithe. Everyone tithes and everyone comes. What about that? That's a pastor's dream, ain't it? But you have to tithe, and there's other things they teach that's just real crazy. But that's one of the good religions. Now, most Catholicism is probably the biggest religion down there, but they've got a lot of Spiritism. And I want to tell you about a little village that I want to build my next church in. I was there a few months ago, and a pastor, I've already built a couple of buildings for him. He's a pastor missionary, and once they start a church and stay in it for a year, and God raises up a man to take over pastor, and they go and begin work in another village. And that's what these pastors, most of them are pastor missionaries. They've started 3, 4, and 5 churches. But anyway, this particular village, I met a 100-year-old man. He was going to be 100 in August. And he said that he had been in that village all his life. He'd never always lived in that village of 2,000 or 3,000 people. And he said that there's never been a Baptist church in this village. And he said, I'd like to see one before I die. Well, he was talking about a church building. In 6 or 8 months ago, they'd organized a church there. They'd been having meetings for a year. But anyway, they've got the land now, and I would love to build a church building in that village. But I think I put that my last newsletter. I had the picture of that 100-year-old man, so if you see my newsletter, you can see that. But anyway, there's two churches in that village, and this is typical of what they have. They have a Catholic church and a church of Spiritism. And I asked the man what they done there, and he said they talked to their dead loved ones. That's what they do. That's what the church consists of, is talking to their dead relatives. And folks, you know, that's pitiful to me. We're blessed that we were raised here in America, where there's a church on every corner. And you might say, I don't like that church or that church, but it's sure a lot better than some of these other religions. I mean, I understand you can't go to some churches, but I think we're too picky sometimes, aren't we, Steve? I heard about this man on he was exiled on an island for 5 years, and when he finally got rescued, he was shipwrecked. He had built him a house out of something, and then someone asked him, said, "What's this building?" He said, "That's my house." "What's this building?" "Well, that's my church I go to." And they said, "What's this building over here?" "Well, that's the church I used to go to." He was the only one on an island, but he had to change churches, you know, and that's it couldn't please him. And that's the way it is with people. Amen. Especially Baptist. Amen. Of course, there's some Jehovah Witness and Mormons. You'll see one of those churches once in a while. But I feel blessed that we were able to build a couple of villages where the people, where the Iglesia Ni Cristo had already planned to come in and build a church in that village. And after we built, then they didn't come into the village. And that's a blessing, you know, and that's a matter of God blessing there. But let me show you something. If you can, let me ask you this. Are there any questions about that? Do you have any questions about our particular work? Somehow they get, their bodies get immune to it. I know that Jessica Willie, the missionary there that some of you know, because he came over to Davidson Memorial, but he's my architect, and he's got a little girl now. Him and his family drink bottled water, just like I do when I go there. But a lot of the village kids drink water they find on the ground, or mud puddles, in other words. But his little girl done that one time. She ends up in the hospital. That's what happens to people that's not used to drinking that. Outside of that, it's just by God's grace, I guess, that they're able to eat some of the things they do and drink that water. They tell me about some of the meat that's a lot cheaper over there, and that's what poor people have to buy. They say it's double dead. They say, I mean, any of the meat that you buy, you had to kill something to get it, but the meat that's double dead is meat that got ran over by a car, and then it ends up in a market, you know, and maybe even after being 4 or 5 days old. And dirty meat, in other words, but somehow they're able to eat this and not get sick. I get sick in one way or another about every time I go to the Philippines. In India, I went over there about 8 times, and I got whooping cough. I didn't know it till I'd been back here for a while, and the symptoms began to come. I just cough real bad, and like a lot of people, they cough so hard that they pass out. And the first time I had a coughing spell with that, I did pass out, and it wasn't a good time. I was on Interstate 85 beyond Charlotte, and I was driving, and thank goodness I had my wife with me, because she said, "Get your foot off the gas, get your foot off the gas," and it kind of woke me up, and I said, "Am I driving?" And ain't we glad that God takes care of something, because he takes care of crazy people and missionaries especially, and he takes care of all of us, because we all do some dangerous things, don't we? But was there any other question? I know it's about time to... Well, I've met a good many of them here in America. Some of them have been able to come over here on deputation, and some of them have got pretty good support, and because of that, they've been able to help out about 5 churches. Those that, if I don't build a church building, it's hard for the church to even pay rent on a building. But I met some of them over here, and then as I've been going to the Philippines, I met their friends, and it's the same with I had mainly 2 or 3 pastors in India. I had met them, met the first one over here, and so I told this young man that he's welcome to go with me on my next trip. I've taken several pastors over there. And it cost about, sounds like a lot in Filipino money, but it's not much in American money. It's about $1,600 round trip. So a few hundred besides that, and you can go there and stay a week or 10 days. Now, I've been blessed. I thank God for how he's blessed me. I've got what you call a rich Christian, I guess, but he uses his Sky Miles from American Express. He gets Sky Miles, and I'm able to get tickets through his Sky Miles. And I tell you, I don't have a whole lot of support like most missionaries that go to foreign land, but I have to have some support. But God has been able to help me in ways like that, or I couldn't make it. Let me bring you up to date, and I'll hush. We just, in the last week or two, we've been able to buy some more land, a big parcel of land out at the camp. This camp is doing a great job. These 50 churches, they may take their members, or 2 or 3 churches get together, and they'll go to the camp, old people and young people, and some of these elderly have never even been out of their village, but we're about 200 miles inland, and so they've never seen the ocean, and they've never been on an overnight trip and had a dormitory to stay in. So that's something special to these people, and we teach them, we train them. We call it leadership training camp, because they've got classes in the daytime, they got preaching in the daytime, got preaching at night. So it, many have been saved at that camp, and it's amazed me how God has blessed that thing. Like I say, I'm blessed to have another donor that he supports the operating expense of the camp. I tell you what, it costs about $1,500 a month to support it, because we feed all the people that come to camp. We built the dormitories and all. We give them a place to stay, and we feed them, and we even pay for their transportation. In other words, the churches that go, we give them $35 or $50 for the few vehicles they drive. So, but there usually be 100 at the camp at a time, and y'all pray for that camp. There's been a lot of young people that's gotten saved out there. Pray for these churches that I'm helping. They really need prayer, because the villages, those Iglesia and Cristo, they have a lot of influence over their everyday life, because they're in with the government, and the politicians are even, or a lot of them are bought off by the Iglesia and the Cristo. And but anyway, y'all pray for those people. Pray for Shelby, and I pray that I'll be out of this cast in 2 more weeks. It's been 3 months. I fell and broke my leg, and I had to have surgery. What's worse than that, I had to have it at the VA hospital. That's double bad. But y'all pray for me, and I thank this church. I thank you for what you're doing to help this country preacher. See, when I go over to the Philippines, most of them speak English, but they don't speak hillbilly English like I do. I had to have an interpreter in India. I asked the pastor, they speak English, understand it pretty good. And I said, why do you have to interpret for me in their language, Telugu, in India? I say, why do I need an interpreter if they understand English, or if they speak English? And the pastor said, brother, it's because you don't speak English. They speak the British with that British accent, and they can't understand me and Steve Klein, can they? I appreciate y'all listening to me. Hope that wasn't too boring.